Seek to Understand, a podcast about holistic wellness and a bunch of other stuff, coming from humans with experience and shower thoughts. Not intended to serve as medical advice or treatment. We want to help you understand your why. Brought to you by Kelly Cash, Neva Wilkerson, and Brandon Johnson. Here we go. And we already kind of ate dinner. I mean, we've talked a lot about food.
Yeah, talked about eating. And we also talked about the phone. Yeah. And I think the phone should carry over to... Okay, so we got the phone and we got the meal squared away.
TV.
Huh?
Let's talk about TV.
TV. What do you do? What do you do when you get home?
Well, if it was up to me, I would take a rifle and shoot the TV.
Fair.
So fair. I am probably one of the few people in the world that has one television in their house.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When my kids were younger, everybody had little TVs and we had TVs in every... No. The bedroom is for rest and love. Mm-hmm. It is not for television. It's not for external noise. It's not. Yeah, so...
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a football game that I really want to watch or something, or I just need 30 minutes of mindful. I don't watch much TV.
Yeah.
But the problem is what we were just talking about. I want to be present with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
So my mindfulness is I'm on my phone so that I can just be in the same room with him while he's watching TV and we're not even conversing. So that's one of our goals for this year, is mm-hmm. to be mindful of that. And
how many of you have kids at home that you're doing the exact same thing with? Mm-hmm. Being in the room with them is not the same as being present with them.
Right.
There is a difference, and it will manifest. It may not manifest, but it's a big deal.
Because it carries over outside your home too.
Right. That's what I was going for.
So if you're not mindful with your children and your spouse and your loved ones or whoever you're living with, mm-hmm. your dog, whatever, if you're not,
you're ignoring other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you're out in the world, you're also ignoring yourself because mm-hmm. you're not present with yourself, mm-hmm. and so.
So we talked about this, I think, a little bit when I was working out a couple weeks ago during the nasty weather, and we'd all been trapped inside for so long, and it was so much easier. I was feeling guilty and overthinking, of course, shocker, that, it was a lot easier. Tensions were a little high in our home. Everybody had been trapped inside for several days together, and you just imagine this sort of wonderful snow day, we're playing family games, right. Everybody's getting along, right.
Like
blah blah
commercials.
Blah. Yeah, and we should have, you know, and that's my fault as the mom, but it was a lot easier for me to do whatever I was doing, watch TV or whatever, and send the kids to their rooms, mm-hmm. and they're on their devices or watching their TVs or doing whatever they wanted to in their rooms, when really I should have made more of an effort to pull everybody together and say, okay, guys, we're doing this. Mm-hmm. But it's easier, just like you talk about all the time, it's harder to do a lot of these things. It's easier just to let everybody go do their own thing so there's not arguments and... whatever else ensues.
You know, the thing that ding, ding, ding. Why do they have TVs in their rooms?
I know.
Yeah, or phones. Sorry. Or PlayStations.
Evan's lost
or...
his privilege for his for now, so.
And see, I've been there, and the guilt that I felt, because, again, the overthinking, the super reflectiveness, I knew what, just like what you're saying, I knew, and I've felt the guilt enough times where I'm like, I'm not going to feel that guilt anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let that be a feeling that I have. And that's been, and that's what I keep saying, if you know something works, just keep doing it, because that's what I do with everything. I don't like that I feel guilty if I didn't work out. So I make sure I work out because I know why I should and this and that, and we'll go into that on another day. But like, a lot of this stuff is self-aware actions to avoid feeling guilty about not doing the things I know I should fucking do.
Yeah. Yeah. So not only do you feel guilt, I mean, you balance it. It's hard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. But mm-hmm. the reward mm-hmm. is there.
That's
if
right.
If you just
that's right.
unhabit.
Okay. So let's go back to the why. Why do we not want to be present with our children? Why do we not want to be present with our spouse? Why do we?
Because sometimes it's easier.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good job.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But so what's easier about it? What are we avoiding? Why are we avoiding the difficult? What is the
parenting
compromise? If they go to their room, I don't have to compromise and do anything that they kind of want to do.
Uh-huh.
I get to do
I can still do what I'm wanting to do. Sure.
And then you realize, like, oh shit, he's 12 years old. How long have I been doing that? You know, mm-hmm. like, how long have I? He's gonna be. Ooh, hold on. He's gonna be gone.
Yeah,
And yeah. you don't get to do that again.
Nope.
You know, but again, I go back to the, you know, what are we avoiding? You know, are we avoiding that they're going to fight us back and we're going to have to parent and we're going to have to be the bad guy and yep. I'm going to have to be the bitch one Parenting. More time mm-hmm. because I'm saying no. And so, again, so why does that make me feel bad? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When I know what I'm doing is the right thing for my kid.
Because it's hard.
It mm-hmm. is hard. Mm-hmm. But the reward at the end is much better. So okay. you have, so, and I know I'm too much for a lot of people. I know I'm too much for a lot of people because I am the one that will say, let's battle. Let's have this fight. Let's have this argument. Let's have this disagreement. Let's talk about this. Let's get this out. Vomit it out, people. Get it out. Mm-hmm. Be mad at me if you want to be mad at me. Tomorrow you'll love me. And later you'll understand there was a reason for my why. And it was for your own good. It was for my own good. And also to not... And sometimes I think as parents, we don't talk to our spouses and we don't talk to our loved ones and we don't talk to our kids because we don't want to overexpose them to our own emotions. We don't want to let them know, honey, I would love to play with you, but mommy's really tired because, you know, grandma's sick. I got to pay the bills. You know, mm-hmm. these things. I want to do this, but right now I can't. And so will you color with me next to me or something like that? You know, and so to... We shelter again, going back to sheltering our kids, not letting them in to know I'm struggling right now too. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I'm struggling, but I just can't today. So if you wouldn't mind going and coloring, it's not that I don't love you, you know, so those kind of things. But we don't, because we also don't want to appear vulnerable. We don't want to appear broken mm-hmm. to anybody, particularly our husbands and our, you know, you don't want to say something, you know, I have done it many times. Like, I don't want to say this to Wallace because I don't want him to think I want to leave him. That's not the case, you know, but I know he's going to go there because if I say I'm unhappy, then he's going to think, oh, it's my fault.
Right.
And oh, she's not happy, then I'm going to be alone. No. And that's why I have to reassure, I don't want to leave you, but I'm not happy, you know? And yeah. so,
and this has really nothing to do with you.
It has nothing to do with you. And so we kind of have we've going on 29 years, so we're getting better. I'm like, okay. Don't take anything other than I just need to scream and mm-hmm. to yell right now. This don't take any of this personal, and you don't have to fix a damn thing. And he'll go, a couple times go, okay, are we done? You know, because he's got to go do something. Okay, are you done with me now? Like, no, I got one more thing. You know, so those things. So again, look at the why. Be mindful about why we're doing it and why we're avoiding doing things.
So I have watched a few episodes of Queer Eye. Have you ever watched Queer Eye? So my parents watch it all the time. And the coolest thing about it is I think it's five guys, but they all have their specialty areas. So they might go in to fix whoever. So the one I watched the other night was a whole entire fraternity in New Orleans. And it was summer, so there were only maybe 10 guys that were living at the frat house. And so somebody does their fashion, the one guy does their hair and fixes them up. There's a designer that goes in and fixes their place, and it looked incredible. But one of the guys helps them work through, like, feelings, emotional stuff, and teaches them etiquette type things. And so he had all these frat guys sit around this campfire and just talk. And they were all weeping by the time it was done because they just never felt like they could take down that barrier and talk to each other, even though they were all like best buds mm-hmm. and, you know, would do anything for any, but we just don't feel like we can talk to each other on that deeper level. And so one of the things that he said is it's okay to not feel like you, like, I think we're all in this room fixers. When somebody tells us, oh, I have this problem, we want to do something about it and we want to be fixers. And I think that's sort of an innate thing that a lot of us have. And his point was, you don't have to, you know, go spill your guts to your buddy, and you don't have to, you can say, I don't need you to fix any of this. I just need to get it all off my chest. And so I think we're really hesitant to do that because that's another hard thing.
Judgment and vulnerability.
Yeah.
Because when you let it out, and I just was talking to a physician client of mine this week, and we were talking, I was very bold and I challenged them as a doctor and said, okay, I just want you to think about these things. And I said, you know, and so we're talking about mindfulness and those things that I mean, most people, like I said, I'm too much for some people, but also people think I have my shit together all the time because that's the external thing, because I don't want people to see below. But then I've also been told that I'm really real because I will also say, you know, so we're vulnerable. And it's scary with your spouse and your children because you don't want your children to think of you as anything other than great and have your shit together all the time. But are we really serving them to how they're going to go off? And then they feel like when in the back of their head, they're not perfect, but everybody else is. You know, my parents are perfect. Mm-hmm. My parents never struggle, yeah. You know, so it's a fine line, in my opinion, about how much you share with them and at what age, and know your kids and what they can do. But also to be honest with them and your spouses, too. We're very vulnerable because we're afraid we're going to be judged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If people know the true you, I think we talked about this. It's not in a podcast we've aired, but we've talked about suicide. And I think that's a lot of the reason for suicide is because we're afraid. If you know what I'm really thinking or how I'm really feeling, then I'm an imposter syndrome. And that's a whole nother podcast, imposter syndrome. And so, so if you're not paying attention to your kids when you get home or your husband or you're just doing... Why? You know, what are you avoiding?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, I'm not going to lie, it is okay every now and then to...
Sometimes you may just need that little...
Yeah, just don't cause conflict out. And don't, you know, so it's okay to everybody, you know, I'll play on my phone, you watch TV, you read your book, you play. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because today I can't take on one more thing. And so, again, be mindful of, is today the day that I can stand up and be a soldier, or is today the day that I need to be...
And be mindful of how many days have we... Yeah. Yeah, how many days in a row have I been, I need to be on the couch, like I can't tonight? And then you're going to have to start asking more questions about why that is. Why has this become, because it's easy is not, quite frankly, not good enough, right? Yeah. It's not enough to do it on a consistent basis. Once in a while, fine, I do it. We all do it. You have to do it.
You have to. Sometimes you do have to just check it, and sometimes you just got to roll with it.
Definitely.
And you also know which battles to pick and when to pick them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if your teenage daughter's on her period, it's not the day. You know, or if your son just lost the basketball game because, you know, he didn't make the shot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tonight's not the night. So let that go. You know, so to just kind of know, be mindful about
when
and where.
Appropriate.
But don't continually avoid.
Mm-hmm. Something else I think we should talk about being mindful of, because I think it's more common than I thought it was. And then I think it's more common that it's kind of an automatic thing now. Do you get home and drink? Do you come home and have your glass of wine? Probably not a big deal to have one or so every day, but there's a lot of studies coming out now, more and more, about how bad alcohol, especially chronic use, especially more than the recommended, whatever, I think it's 2 drinks now, 2 beers a week or something like that, which I don't know, but... how much are you doing that? And then again, why? Are you doing it because you need to check out and you need some help checking out?
Yeah.
That's not a good thing. That's not... I drink on weekends occasionally, but it's for recreation. It's because I do enjoy it and I can control it and all that, but I don't do it every day because, well, again, once you know it's poison, I'm a health nut. I can't ignore that fact. And I don't think people... I don't know if enough people are aware of how poisonous it is.
I'm over here like this because I don't know what's happening. I told you when I walked in, I don't know if today is a good day to do the podcast because I'm about ready to explode with everything that's happening. The thing you said a minute ago, I told you what happened yesterday. When you're talking about that, I just had this conversation with my husband this week. And we're not heavy drinkers, by the way, but we do drink. But when his hemoglobin A1C came back high, we were talking about that. And I said, you know, we drank more and then... we both have been drinking more, like on a Tuesday, come home, it's like, I'm not going to lie, yesterday was a day. I said to Wallace, I said, this upsets me that I really want to have a drink right now. Mm-hmm. But when we were talking about his health style and stuff, I said, Wallace, it's okay for us to drink. Because when I say, you know, you can't be drinking bourbon all the time, you know, he's always like, it's kind of like telling your son he can't watch TV.
It's you're going to pout. Yeah. But I like my bourbon.
I don't like bourbon. You know, and the other night beer. He came home and we were having supper and he said, I need something to drink. Can't have a soda because we have a little cans of soda. And I'm like, stop. So how come when I say we need to make a lifestyle change, you automatically go to...
Pouty pants
of what you can't have. But it was the drinking. And so then we had our dinner. And then later, this is why I didn't want to talk about it before dinner, is because I was going to say things like this. It's like, Well, so it's not that we can't drink, but if you're wanting to drink more frequently, we need to understand why we're both wanting to drink more frequently.
Bang!
What is it that's causing us to both to want to come home, have supper, have a drink, watch TV, not talk to each other, go to bed, get up the next day, brush your teeth, go do the same shit, and come back the next night, and then maybe I'm not going to drink the next night, but I am just going to sit on the TV with my blanket, and I'm going to not talk to you tonight. I need to know what's going on in your work world and what's going on in your thoughts of why it's that important.
Yeah.
I went through that. It was in November and December. I was drinking more than I should have. Not a lot. I don't have a chronic problem like that, but like I was drinking more than I wanted to, and my wife asked me why, and I was like, well, I don't know. And then I was like, well, I really legitimately, after some thought, didn't have a good reason.
Because it starts to become a habit.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, shit, I'm just like, it's just a thing I do now. And I'm like, well, that can't happen. So, you know, like.
Yeah. But I think it's a lot easier for those sorts of substances, whether it be sugar, whether it be alcohol. Mm-hmm. I don't know about drugs, but probably same lines, you know, that you're trying to numb those thoughts, and then it very easily becomes habitual.
Plus, it's everywhere.
And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Easy to get. Several years ago when I was working at urgent care, I developed a habit. It was cold. It was winter. I like beer. I was exploring all of those craft beers that are really heavy. I would come home from work, stressful, busy day. Drink one, Jesse'd have the fireplace going. It was nice and warm. Once you drink one, you want another one. I'd have two, some nights three. And before you knew it, I put on 15 pounds very easily from all those extra delicious craft beer calories. But yeah, why was I doing it? Did I need a little stress relief? Mm-hmm. Probably. Mm-hmm. Was I doing it in a healthy way?
Right.
No.
But it's important to recognize it, you know. And so it's, yeah. So again, going back in. What are we not, what's the elephant in the room that we're not addressing that we just need to kind of talk about? Like, you know, I want to retire, but I'm afraid to retire with Wallace. Or, you know, I don't want to retire. Or, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do next. And for me, you know, we've talked a lot about this. I'm making some dramatic changes in my, I guess, rebranding my life and my business of what I do and how I do it. It's scary. And so...
if you can kind of numb it or forget about it for a minute.
Yeah, or if I can just put something in my mouth so I don't have to talk.
It is. It's a pacifier, right?
Yeah. So I don't have to talk about it. I'm just going to sit here and sip on this and go through all the worst case scenarios in my head by myself versus saying it out loud. Am I scared? You know, whatever. Yeah. So it's funny that you say that because we just had this conversation and it was all... So should I have not done the hemoglobin A1C in January? Probably not, if you really, I mean, but again, did something good come out of it? Mm-hmm. So when we were talking about earlier about, did it turn out?
Yeah, it
turned out fine because then it opened up that dialogue of conversation of some other habits that we're doing that probably are.
Yeah. Need to change.
Like having knee pain. Unhabit.
Yeah, but it's Friday. Now, I shouldn't say this because it's Friday and guess what I want to do?
Yeah.
Well, but if you've allowed that to yourself and you can control it, but again, it's having, knowing yourself. My sister, I'm so proud of my sister because she learned long time ago, I can't handle it. I can't be around it. She did everything she had to do, and she was brave as shit, and she went through the storm, and she did it all by herself, totally on her own, but she had to know that about herself first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it takes a very dark place a lot of times to get there to realize that. And it's so easy, I think, with alcohol, especially, you know, if genetically you're more prone to that, like I am and many people are.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Oh. And so I'm not saying you can't have a drink once in a while. Yeah. I mean, I think it's fine if you enjoy it and you're doing it for the right reasons. But just it's something you got to be really careful with.
Yep. So the naysayers are asking, what's the right reason to have alcohol?
A wedding?
Yeah. Well.
A Super Bowl party? I don't know. Yeah. What is it for you?
No, well, I agree. Honestly. I agree. I'm just saying, I can just hear somebody out there going, well, no. You know, and so I'm not a teetotaler on anything.
No.
And so I think that there is an appropriate amount.
Definitely.
And, you know.
It's just something that I think
the bourbon thing that we drink is because it's fun. Like you were trying the craft beers. And so once we realized with health wise that Wallace couldn't drink beer because we're rednecks and Troy people and he drank Stag. Let's just put it all out there.
I like Stag.
Oh, man. I know. And so he was a Stag drinker and I was a Stag wine drinker. And so that was kind of our little, that's who we were. and then realized that we couldn't. And so then we started exploring. It's fun. And it's an experience that we have together and those kind of things. But recognizing, uh-oh, guess what? Now we're kind of doing it on Tuesday.
Because you weren't doing it mindfully. Yeah. You were doing it.
Yeah. On Tuesdays, now we're doing it not because we're doing a tasting test. It's because
we've come home and we've had an awful day.
Yeah.
We're
and
trying
just because I'm home.
Because I'm home and it's cold outside and I really wanted to tell off this person and you really wanted to tell your boss to go to hell. And, you know, it's just like.
And if stuff like that triggers you, man, don't watch the TV because.
Or don't get on social media.
Social media. I mean, I can't believe how many, like I've watched shows and movies with my sister and she's totally cool with it. But I feel uncomfortable for her by the amount of times people drink in TV shows. Like it is so common. Yeah. Every movie, every lawyer movie you go to, every scene is them pouring some brown liquid out of a shiller.
In their offices.
Yeah. At work. Uh-huh. At work. Or they're going to the bar after work to unwind and. So magically, they all get home and never get DWIs. You know, like they don't live in,
but they live in the real world.
It's triggering as hell. And if you're a little kid whose parents are telling you you can't eat cereal anymore and you're watching TV and a cereal commercial comes on, you're triggered. You know, you are. Yeah. So, again, mindful of how that thing on TV that's entering my sense, overloading my senses right now. How does that make you feel?
I can't tell you.
The pharmaceutical commercials for that.
Yes. I can't tell you how many times I used to watch Food Network and then have a craving for whatever food they were talking about. You know, like, oh, I got to go get a burger right now because. Yeah. So I never thought about that in other programs.
In nursing school, though, well, how many times did, but before the end of one semester, everybody had that illness? Or we always joke that nobody wanted to go through OB because then half the class was going to get pregnant.
Nice.
I mean, I don't know what it is.
Luckily, I don't know that happened to any of us.
It didn't happen to me. But I mean, it was funny because we would have some people like, oh, yeah, I think I have this. I think I have that because you're hurting. You're like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the power of suggestion.
We're talking about the mindfulness and going back to kids. So we would go to family functions and barbecues and those kind of things. And we come from a large Wallace's side of the family is, I hate doing these on podcasts because I don't want to throw my family under the bus or anything. But so it was always a social gathering that had alcohol and those kind of things. And it was all day, you know, you were barbecuing and everything. And so a lot of times we would walk around with just like an empty beer can because so that it appeared that we were drinking. But then as soon as somebody, because if you set it down, you know, cousin so-so would come over, hey, here's another beer, you know. And so I said to Wallace one time, I said, what are we showing our kids?
Yeah.
That we are out here all day long with a beer can in our hand, and then we get in the car and drive them home.
Yeah.
So they don't know.
And then why were you doing that in the first place? Just to protect, not have to have the conversation of, I don't want
to
drink today.
To avoid it and to go down that whole thing. Yeah. And so, but I said, you know, what are we showing them? That we're, you know, mom and dad are out here drinking all day, and then they're getting in the car driving me home. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to do one of two things. We're either going to have to grow some balls and start saying, two's my limit, or whatever, or Neva's not drinking today because I'm driving, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or we're gonna, if we can't do that and we don't want to have that conflict, we have to stop going to these family functions.
Yeah, it's weird though socially. So, as I have not tolerated as much alcohol as I used to, the older I've become, and probably shouldn't drink as much alcohol as I used to. I've turned to sparkling water a lot as a substitute, or I used to drink that because, you know, I like beer. I would drink like the non-alcoholic Busch beers in some settings because at one point in my life I completely gave up alcohol. But it's just interesting how socially it feels like you have to have something, or maybe that's just a me thing, but you have to have something in your hand. And so even if it is that can of sparkling water, you walk around and talk to people and you've got that in your hand.
It's a comfort zone. It's a comfort thing. So when there's a lull in the conversation, you could take a drink. Or if you want to avoid the conversation, you can say, oh, I got to go fill it up. Or I got to go get another one.
Yeah.
So it's also, it's a comfort thing to pause and take a drink so you don't have to say what you really want to say. Or it gives you an out to go and leave the conversation. So recently that just happened. We were going to a Christmas party and I wasn't feeling great. And so bourbon. So you can get the ice cubes that are square and fill them up. And so I actually did cranberry juice and I put cranberries in it and then I put a rosemary sprig. And so it was supposed to be for alcoholic drinks. But what I did was then I just bit a ginger ale. And so it looked like I was drinking. And I actually drank. I took it in one of my cups that is an alcohol cup. And so, yeah. So you can do fun things like that to And so I've done
and
that.
And sometimes that, if you have a hot tea or something that has flavor that's a little different for you, you have a fancy drink, then it feels special.
And
it's
drink
the
it in
way.
Your fancy cup. And so like just recently, so now I also have, once it's orange juice with orange slices, you slice them up and then you make them into little flowers, and that's your, so then you just put it in there with your 7-Up or your water.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
It's easy. You just put it in the freezer and then you can pop it out, and they're really, really pretty. And so then you can put it in. I put it in the glass that I would drink alcohol in, because then it's just like, oh,
yeah,
I feel all fancy. And,
and so then instead of having your bourbon even, you have a 7-Up with your orange juice, and you've got your screwdriver.
Or ginger ale, or even, I mean, so with the cranberry juice, you can do water, you can do tonic water, you can do whatever. Tonic water's got a lot of sugar, but yeah. So other ways to make it feel like, and so, yeah, so no, I'm not going to have I'm not going to say that online. I might. I don't know what I'll do tonight. But
you have a bourbon if you want to. Just make sure you're doing it for the right reasons.
Yep. It wouldn't be. It's because I told you. Last 24
and that's
hours
okay.
have been
Sometimes
mind-blowing
it's
to
been
me.
A week.
Yep. And that's that fine line, because somebody that's listening to this that has a problem with that just heard us give her permission to drink, right?
Yeah.
But that's not what we did. If she had come to us and said, like, I've been drinking like 6 days. I've drank the last 6 days. We probably wouldn't suggest that she has a drink to unwind tonight, because it's right, you know.
Maybe
so,
you could have the
But we know her, quote unquote, well enough, and we know that she's honest enough with us that she would tell us if she had a problem, and we'd lock her up and take her to wherever she needed to go. And
you put me in the shower and lock the door.
Yeah.
Turn back to cold water on.
Back to her shower with her thoughts.
With cold water. Mm-hmm. Get in there and sober up, Chica.
So then we've talked about, I guess, is drinking, you guys feel good about that? Moving on?
Yeah, we can move on.
I think it's time to go to bed.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Well, so if you drink too much, I had some eggnog that, I love that Evan Williams eggnog. Sorry, back to drinking. Tend to relapse on all these.
no pun intended.
Right? So eggnog, I had some of that Evan Williams eggnog. I really love that around Christmas time. Couple days after Christmas, whatever, and I drank several glasses of it, and I slept terribly that night. I had hot flashes because I think my body was just trying to detox it, and so, you know, it's like, gosh, that wasn't even worth it.
Turns out alcohol doesn't help you sleep; it helps you fall asleep, because you just kind
of
pass out.
But
your sleep
quality
is terrible.
Sleep is awful.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Well, that was the wine, and if you want to get on the medical aspect of it, so with the beer, and for Wallace, it was his snoring, and he was on allergy medicines and allergy shots and everything. And I kept saying, I think it's the beer, honey. I know it's the beer. It's the beer. It's the beer. And he had to learn it on his own. I kid you not, though, he does not. Occasionally he snores now, but it's usually because he's extremely exhausted, or we've eaten too much gluten, or he has gotten into a bourbon that has too much wheat or something in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing. So again, experiment and know yourself. And so, again, we talk about that with the diet. Dairy, can't have any dairy. Alcohol, can't have any alcohol. That's not necessarily true. Yep. Amount is huge, but with the wines, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wake up, headache, can't sleep, I fall asleep
sugar.
Really good. It's awful.
And you're dehydrated and all the sugar.
So I cannot do it very often. So,
okay, now let's maybe we prepare for bed without alcohol.
Yeah,
because
let's
we've just
we're sober.
Established because that we're not going to sleep good with.
So be mindful about when you're sleeping. So let's go back to mindfulness, sleeping.
How do you fall asleep? That's, I think, sets the tone
what allows
for your next
you
morning.
To fall asleep, what wakes you up, what could be causing some of the issues. Is it you have too much noise in your room? Is it because you have the background TV going? Is it because you have too much blue light? Is it too hot? Is it too cold? You know, so be mindful of your environment.
There's a whole study of sleep hygiene.
Oh, yeah. I've read them.
And so, which I don't know why they call it hygiene, but whatever. I wouldn't have named it that. but it's that whole awareness, setting the tone, making your brain ready to rest. And so, one thing I have my kids do and I try and do is turn down the overhead lights, which are very stimulating to our brains, and turn on the lamps. And so you've sort of lowered the light in the room, getting off of devices, which are very, very, very stimulating to our brain, and really trying not to be on your device for at least a couple hours before you go to bed.
Let's say a minimum of 1 hour.
Yeah. And even TV. So if you can wind down and read a book or listen to some music or a podcast or something like that, that is just not as stimulating to your brain, that sets the tone for your rest.
Yep.
Do a word search.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not a reader, you can do a word search. You can do a crossword puzzle. You can get one of those adult coloring books. You can actually, you don't even have to have an adult coloring book. You can get your kids' coloring book.
Yeah.
You can all color together
for
an hour.
There you go.
Or 30 minutes.
Go sit in a nice warm bath.
Sit in a nice warm bath. Also, get your snack. I mean, it is okay to snack because a lot of people, if you're having blood sugar issues and stuff too. So if you're waking up at a certain time of night, is it that, so one of the nutritionists that I went to one time said to eat a saltine cracker with butter on it before you go to bed, like two of them, to kind of stabilize your blood sugars and to keep that peak and flow from happening. So something like that. You know, don't eat a donut. Don't drink a glass of chocolate milk.
No, and be careful what you eat before bed, because if you eat too close to bed, that can trigger acid reflux for a lot of people.
And hot flashes.
And hot flashes.
It can, because your body's sugar. Your body's trying to kick in and burn it, and then it heats you up because you actually get warmer when you eat.
Thermic effect of food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so if you're having hot flashes, men and women, it may not be hormonal. It may be that you're eating too close to bedtime or you're drinking too close to bedtime.
So I like also maybe a cup of hot tea. Or a little magnesium drink before bed. Magnesium can be very helpful to help you kind of set the tone for rest. And so enjoying that cup of hot tea, being mindful of how that feels in your hands as you're sipping it. What's it taste like? How's it feel warm going down into your esophagus and your stomach?
Essential oils, fragrances in your room, or you can do a lavender spray on your bed. You can do a frankincense or something, but lavender is always really good for sleeping. But if you have asthma and those then you can find another fragrance that's calming to you, to spray that, put it in distilled water and spray it, or you can do it a diffuser in your room, or just put a piece on a cotton ball and put it on your bed so there's the fragrance. And so if you ever get a massage, if you never had a massage and you think it's just, you know, you walk in, you go, oh, this automatically feels just so peaceful. It's trickery, people. It's trickery. So we have the lights dim, because it calms the central nervous system. We have the table warm because warmth calms the central nervous system. We have the calming music in the background, so we're going into the vestibular nerve. So what you see, what you smell, we have essential oils or things, nice smells in the room. What we're doing is we're setting the tone of all of your central nervous system before we ever touch you to make it seem like we are magical people. We are.
You are.
We are magical people, but...
Yeah.
That's like a pre-massage thing. So do all of those things at your home. Get the room.
Set the tune to rest.
Pretend like you're getting massage. Yeah. What's your smell? What's your sight? What are you feeling? What are you hearing?
Force yourself to think happy thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think gratitude. Jinx. Whoa.
Gratitude journals.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so that's one thing that I always talk to my patients about in the past, that have struggled to kind of turn off their brain, and have a little journal by your bed. It's not a bad practice just to write down three things that you're grateful for. Great. You know, maybe you don't write them down. Maybe you say in your head three things you're grateful for. But the journal also, or that notebook next to your bed, when you have all those thoughts racing through your head, that either you are thinking about things going on tomorrow or you just can't stop your thoughts, write them all down and then mentally tell yourself they're there in that journal, and I'll deal with those tomorrow. I need to rest now so my brain can be healthy, so I can be healthy. You need to dedicate that time to rest.
And one of the kickbacks that I've gotten from a lot of the clients that I've worked with, they're afraid to journal because they think of it something that you have to keep. The journal is, you know, like you're writing in a notebook. And I said, it's perfectly okay the next morning to tear it up and burn it or throw it away. You don't have to keep it because there are, you know, again, vulnerability, afraid somebody else is going to read it. And, you know, like if I was really pissed off at my husband or my children, or I'm angry about something and I want to write it in my journal just to get those thoughts out of my head, it's okay to tear it up right then and there or the next morning.
Allowing your brain to purge those things can be incredibly
powerful. So you don't have to keep it. And sometimes that can be a powerful thing too, is to write some things down and then physically watch it burn or physically tear it up.
We went to a sound bath for New Year's Eve, my wife and I did. And one of the things they had us do at the sound bath was write down things that, so they had us write down our goals, and then they had us write down the things that were stopping us from hitting our goals. Mm-hmm. So the why of why we weren't, in this case, why not. And then she had us tear that part of the paper off, throw it in this pan, and then lit it on fire. Mm-hmm. It was inside the house before we did the sound bath. So we smelled paper smoke, paper smoke for the rest of the hour we were there. But the concept,
be mindful about that. Don't do it next time.
Yeah, indoors,
just
no
fold
ventilation,
it up, and then
no
at the
fan.
End of the session, go out and burn.
We'll go outside and do this.
Yes, yes.
I put my shoes back on for that. But
you know, and I went to one time where they had us write down names of people that you were holding a grudge with, or you were angry with, that you needed to forgive, and we left it there for the whole weekend. And then did meditation and that kind of stuff. And then at the end, we tore it up and we let it go. And we, you know, you just let it go.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so you can do, I mean, you don't have to go to retreats. You don't have to go to massage therapists. You don't have to have somebody else facilitate this. These are all things that you can be mindful and do in your own home. Set your own space up to be blissful.
A sanctuary.
Yeah.
Good. Your own sanctuary. Yeah. You know, I think it's important. I don't know what the statistic is. We spend, what, a third of our life in bed or something like that? It's a lot. It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of years of our life. Buy yourself the nice sheets. Buy yourself a comfortable pillow. Make your bed, you know, a nice place that you don't need to spend all your time there. But make it so when you are wanting to rest, because it's so important for our health to rest our brains and rest our bodies. Physiologically, it's so important. That it's a really pleasant place for you to go. And I think that's part of mindfulness too. It's just, you know, it's someplace you want to go to. It's where you want to go and rest and
feel
good.
You like the feng shui?
Yeah, it's important. You know, it is. Definitely. And like Neva was talking about all the senses earlier. You know, that's a sense of touch and feel. How do your blankets feel? I've gotten kind of snobby and I only like cotton sheets. I don't like any of those polyester sheets.
And I am one of the people that I cannot stand the touch of socks on my feet all night long.
I have a pile of socks under our covers
because I put them on. I have to put them on when I get in sometimes, but then in the other night I work them off. Yeah, it's
that's funny.
So every time I take the bed sheets off to wash them, there's always several pairs
of
socks
that's
in
funny.
There.
You know, my thing is sleep habits, and people are like, you know, what's the best pillow and the pillow I need to get, or what's best? How's it best to sleep on my back? And my standard answer is, whatever you need to do to get 8 hours of good rest.
Yeah. What feels good for you?
Yeah. What feels good for you? But then also my thing about being a body worker is also being mindful of repetitive behavior. So if you're sitting in your recliner with your left leg cocked up for 4 hours or whatever, and then you go to bed and you cock your left leg up for 4 hours because that's comfortable. And
your
then you come to me and you're like,
it's going to be all wonky.
I don't know why my low back hurts. I'm like, because you never unhook your left hook. You know, so be mindful of your sleeping patterns too. And so, or how do you feel when you get up? Are you stiff in the morning when you get up? Are you ready to conquer the world in the morning when you get up? You know, so be mindful about when you wake up. How am I waking up?
Mm-hmm. And how you wake up usually has a lot to do with how you go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This morning I woke up pretty darn tense because I had a crazy day yesterday and I literally woke up feeling...
Carried it to bed with you.
Oh my gosh, my jaws hurt so bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
No good.
Go to bed happy, folks.
Which just shows we're not perfect either.
Yeah, I'll be right. I'm very flawed.
We're just doing
best. Yeah, we're just doing our best, guys. We're telling you all this stuff, but it doesn't mean we're doing it all perfectly.
Nope.
No, we already on this, however long we've been here, I've shared a lot of things that I've done imperfectly, but recognizing and being mindful that that's what I've done and to how can I be better tomorrow? And I may not be better tomorrow. It may take me till next Friday.
May take the rest of it. I guarantee you it will take the rest of my life.
But not for everything, but for some things. I mean, it's
not
always
for everything. But yes, I'm constantly a work in progress.
You're never done.
That was my post last week on social media. Always a work in progress.
Be
always.
A work in progress.
Yep.
I think that was the title of that John Cena book I had.
Be a work in progress. Be mindful about who you are and what you want to be and what your obstacles, and are you vulnerable? Are you, you know, what are you feeling? Just be mindful, but then be very joyful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Find joy.
Yeah. Cool. Let's wrap this thing up. See ya.